Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Tax Credits, Schools, and the Establishment Clause Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On November 3, 2010, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Arizona Christian School Tuition Organization versus Wynn. The questions in this case were 1. Whether a taxpayer has standing to challenge a state tuition tax credit as violating the Establishment Clause, and 2. Does a state program that gives parents tax credits for tuition at private schools violate the Establishment Clause when many parents use the credits to pay for religious schooling? To discuss the case, we have Joshua P. Thompson, who is a College of Public Interest Law Fellow at the Pacific Legal Foundation. Mr. Thompson was on an amicus brief in support of the petitioners. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Thompson.
Hello, my name is Joshua Thompson, and I'm an attorney with the Pacific Legal Foundation. In full disclosure, Pacific Legal Foundation has an education reform project which is furthered through amicus curiae participation in courts throughout the country. In support of this mission, PLF filed an amicus brief in the cases we are discussing today, Arizona Christian School Tuition Organization versus Wynn and Garriott versus Wynn. In this case, 4 Arizona taxpayers brought suit alleging that an Arizona statute is unconstitutional under the Establishment Clause. In this podcast, I'm going to begin by discussing the statute at issue in Wynn. I will then discuss the party's arguments in support and in opposition to the Ninth Circuit's ruling. In ruling on the motion to dismiss, the Ninth Circuit held that the plaintiff's equal protection claims could proceed. Next, I discuss 3 or more of the interesting points that came out of oral argument last week, and I will conclude with my best guess at the outcome of the case. In Wynn, the plaintiffs alleged that Arizona Revised Statute Section 43-1089 violates the Establishment Clause. Section 1089, however, does not authorize the typical voucher program scheme we are familiar with from, for example, Zelman. Instead, the statute works like this. Arizona allows school tuition organizations to incorporate. In order to qualify as a school tuition organization, it must promise to give 90% of its revenue to students in the form of tuition payments to attend, quote, any qualified school of their parents' choice, unquote. Anyone can donate to a school tuition organization. Moreover, and here is where the alleged Establishment Clause violation occurs, individual taxpayers can donate up to $500 or $1,000 for a married couple to a school tuition organization and reduce the amount owed on their state income taxes by the amount of their donation. So, for example, if I'm an Arizona taxpayer and I get a bill from the tax man saying I owe the state of Arizona $1,500 in income taxes, I can choose to only pay the state of Arizona $1,000 and donate the other $500 to a school tuition organization. These organizations can in turn restrict their scholarships to students to use at religious schools. Plaintiffs allege that by allowing money to go to religious schools in this way, money that would otherwise go to the state in the form of an income tax payment, the state was respecting an establishment of religion in violation of the Establishment Clause. The first issue raised in the Ninth Circuit was whether plaintiffs had standing to challenge the law. Plaintiffs relied on a narrow line of cases that allow for taxpayer standing when a plaintiff contends that state funds are being used to violate the Establishment Clause. At first blush, it sounds as if this is precisely what is happening here. However, the state of Arizona disagreed. The state argued that money never entered state coffers and that the state does not extract any money from the plaintiffs for the purpose of advancing a sectarian goal. Furthermore, the state argues, the legislature has appropriated no sum of money to fund the program nor taxed the plaintiffs in support of this program. The Ninth Circuit, however, rejected the state's argument and held that the plaintiffs had standing to allege an Establishment Clause violation. The court noted that the state is making an either-or proposition, either give the money to the state or give it to an STO that it will use for scholarships for private school tuition. The court said that the legislature has mediated the funding of these STOs through Arizona taxpayers. The second question presented in the case is, assuming the taxpayers have standing to challenge the tax credit scheme, does it effectuate an Establishment Clause violation? The first issue under this heading is whether the statute itself has a secular or sectarian purpose. On this score, the Ninth Circuit held that facially the statute's purpose was to provide a wide range of schooling options for students of all income levels. Plaintiffs argued, however, that in practice, the STOs are permitted to use their funds to attend specific religious schools. The court also noted that if these allegations are proven true, which at this motion to dismiss stage it must assume, that the statute could be a pretense. In response, defendants argued that there is no evidence that the legislature had a sectarian purpose, and the statute is a valid secular vehicle for giving students of all income levels more educational options. The second merits issue, however, is more interesting. Plaintiffs argue that the statute issue has the forbidden effect of advancing religion. In effect, plaintiffs argue that the Ninth Circuit agreed that because the majority of STOs restrict their scholarships to religious organizations, the statute carries with it the imprimatur of government endorsement. Defendants disputed this contention. They argued that the program at issue is no different than tax breaks given to individuals for contributions to any nonprofit religious institution. Indeed, in cases such as Hernandez, the Supreme Court has upheld such donations in the face of Establishment Clause challenges. The Ninth Circuit, however, distinguished those programs from the one at issue here by the fact that those deductions are allowed for contributions to any charitable organization, whereas the deductions allowed here are only allowed for tuition organizations, the majority of which are sectarian in nature. At oral argument, the Supreme Court was very active. The first interesting exchange occurred on the issue of taxpayer standing. Justice Ginsburg asked the state attorney whether anyone, taxpayer or not, would have standing to challenge the program at issue here. The state's attorney conceded that the program is insulated from an equal protection challenge. So, Justice Ginsburg argued, that would contravene the very purpose of the taxpayer exception to equal protection clause challenges. The exception is designed to allow claims to proceed against otherwise unchallengeable, unconstitutional state action. In response, the state reiterated that there is no state tax dollar that can be spent on religion here. Furthermore, that result is similar to every other clause in the Constitution, which does not permit taxpayer standing, and that result is a result that the court has countenanced in the past. The second exchange that I will mention occurred between Justices Scalia and Kennedy with respect to whether there was any government funds at issue. Scalia questioned whether simply allowing money to not go to the state means that it's state money. In response, plaintiffs argued that the money was raised by income tax, and therefore was state money. Taxpayers could only choose to give to a tuition organization or pay the state. They had no choice to keep the money. Thus, since this choice was presented through the income tax scheme, it was necessarily state money. In a bit of humor, Justice Kennedy said, quote, "I must say I have some difficulty that any money that government doesn't take from me is still the government's money." He went on to say that at this age, he can receive a 10% discount at some restaurants. He would find it offensive for the cashier to say to him, quote, "Be careful how you spend my money." In response, the state reiterated that the money is only generated as a result of imposition of the income tax, and that is what makes it state funds. There was further interesting discussion of this point, including at one point Justice Scalia noting that if the government doesn't make you pay the tax, you don't owe the tax in the first place. This point and much of the remaining argument was dominated by a discussion of how the program at issue is distinguishable from a simple 501c3 deduction to a religious organization. Such deductions are allowable under current court precedent. The state argued that the two are indistinguishable, and the plaintiffs continued to argue that there are fundamental differences between the two. With respect to the plaintiff's argument, Justices Scalia and Alito seemed more hostile and tried to back the state into agreeing that all they want is a simple change on the tax form, and that change on the tax form would render the program constitutional. These cases present very interesting Establishment Clause issues. If I were to hazard a guess based on the oral argument, I would say that Justices Scalia, Alito, and Roberts will rule that plaintiffs lack standing as taxpayers and that the program is constitutional. Justices Ginsburg, Sotomayor, and Kagan will rule that the plaintiffs have standing and that the program is unconstitutional. Justice Thomas, at oral argument, was silent as usual, but he was with the majority in Zelman, so I would expect him to side with the state. Justices Breyer and Kennedy will likely be the swing votes. While Justice Breyer seemed to agree that the taxpayers had standing, he was more equivocal on the constitutionality of the program. Justice Kennedy was the opposite in expressing some skepticism regarding the allocation of state funds, but also somewhat equivocal on the constitutionality of the program. We should have a very interesting and split decision in a couple of months. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.